Awesome, right? That was awesome worship. How are you, my friends? So good to hear. I'm glad you are doing well. And what I need you to do is open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. That's where we're going to be checking out today. Once you're in Luke 24, go to verse 28. We're looking at 28 through 49. So flip those Bibles open. If you need a Bible, who doesn't have a Bible? If you need a Bible, toss your hand up because we want to get you a Bible because it's important to have your Bible. Okay, this guy needs a Bible. Grab him a Bible. There's a couple people who need Bibles. Came in late. So, 421, get those guys some Bibles. So, we've been going through Revelation with Kevin, right? We've heard some pretty crazy stuff. We've heard about the seals, the judgments, right? Some pretty intense stuff. Would you guys agree? A lot of crazy stuff's going to happen. And it's kind of crazy to think about God's judgment being poured out on all these people who have rejected Christ, right? That's a pretty intense thought. People dying and going to hell and spending eternity in hell. And that's definitely one thing that I wouldn't wish upon anybody, right? And I'm sure you wouldn't either. So we've been going through some crazy stuff in Revelation from guys who like devour their enemies with fire, right? Like blowing some crazy fire at these dudes and devouring their enemies out of their mouths, right? Blowing fire out of their mouths. Some pretty crazy stuff. So, all this is, we've been looking at all this and observing it all. And what should be our response? Hearing about God's judgment being poured out on people who have turned and have chosen not to accept Christ or have never accepted Christ, and they're going to spend eternity in hell, and God's judgment is going to be poured out on them, right? What should our response be as a Christian, as a Velocity student, as a believer, right? What should our response be? So we're going to look at that today and kind of get an idea of what it should be. And we'll look at Jesus' last encounters with his disciples, his last time on earth and what he was doing and what he was telling them. And so we'll go ahead and take a look at that today. I've entitled my message, The Stranger You Should Talk To. And that's something pretty crazy to think about, a stranger you should talk to. We've all grown up hearing that, hey, don't talk to strangers. Strangers are bad, right? I know, but I'm your friend. I may be a stranger. I know a lot of people say Denver's really strange. You guys probably saw me dancing around. Denver's just a strange guy. I'm not a stranger. I'm your friend. Okay, but we've all grown up and heard, hey, don't talk to strangers. Strangers are bad. And so I kind of went online, and I was wondering, how do I handle a stranger? What do I do, right? And so I don't know if you guys know Scruff McGruff, right? The dog, the investigator dog wearing, like, the trench coat. Anybody know Scruff McGruff? He's got our back, right? Scruff McGruff always looking out for us. But here's what Scruff McGruff had to say. And it's I found this online. And I hope you guys find it helpful. Strangers and other dangers. A stranger is a person whom you have never met. You may have seen this person before, but don't know anything about him or her. Strangers don't look like monsters, aliens, or the bad guys you see on TV. They look like ordinary people. So what's the big deal? Most strangers are nice, but some are not. You cannot tell if a stranger is nice or not by looking at him or her, but you can tell if a situation is good or bad. What should you do? Be aware of dangerous situations. If a stranger asks you for help or to keep a special secret, it could be a dangerous situation. Say no and tell a trusted adult. Trust your instincts. If you feel scared or uncomfortable, get away from the situation. Make an excuse or just run away. Go to a safe place. Know what you do. Think no, go, yell, tell. If you're in a dangerous situation, say no. Run away, yell as loud as you can, and tell an adult. Ask your parents first. If a stranger invites you to go somewhere, or offers you a gift, or just wants to talk, say that you need to ask your parents' permission first, then go do it. Stick with friends. It's always safer to play in a group. Right? So this is just some advice Scruff McGruff offers to people, mean little kids, right, who are going to encounter strangers, what they should do. It's kind of funny stuff, right? But it's good advice. But we're going to look at today these two dudes who encountered a stranger and they only followed one of the rules. They were sticking together in a group, right? These two dudes. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Lord, I thank you so much that that we can be here, that we can open up your Word and learn from you. And God, I pray that as we're studying and as we take communion later on, that you'd speak to us and just reveal yourself to us in a whole new way, God. And I pray that that you keep us, help us to be attentive. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak through me. And I pray that that you would just bless this time and that we'd enjoy it. Amen. So, today we're going to look at these two dudes who encountered this stranger. They didn't know who it was. They encountered him and they invited him into their home. But first, let me catch up on what's been going on in the story. Let me set the scene for you. Okay, Jesus has died on the cross. It's the third day, right? He's been in the tomb and it's the third day. So Mary and Martha have gone down to the tomb and they find the tomb empty. The tomb's empty, Jesus isn't there. And so there's an angel there and he tells them, why do you search for the living among the dead, right? So they're like crazy and they run back and tell the 11. And Peter runs down and he finds the tomb empty. And so all these guys are like, what's going on, right? The tomb's empty. Where's Jesus? They're just kind of confused. And I'm sure we would be too. So that was earlier in the day. And now it's later in the day. And these two followers of Christ, these two men, they weren't part of the 12 disciples, but they were just two followers of Christ. And they're walking down this road. They're leaving Jerusalem. And they're going to this village of Emmaus. And as they're traveling down the road, just kind of bummed out, right? Like, they had been followers of Christ. They're like, man, I thought for sure that this was the Messiah. And so they're kind of bummed out as they're walking down the road, just talking amongst themselves, like, man, that was such a bummer. Like, I thought this was going to be it, right? I thought this was the good stuff. I thought this was the Christ, the Messiah. So they're bummed out. And they encounter this stranger. And they start talking to him. He's curious as to why they're bummed out. And they begin to talk to him more and more. And he's mentioning scripture to them. And they're kind of curious about this guy. Like, do you not know about Jesus, right? And so they're talking to this guy. And they continue traveling. And they're almost to Emmaus. And once they get there, these two dudes, they're real interested in this guy. Like, there's something about him. They want to talk to him. They've enjoyed this conversation. So they invite this guy to stay in their house. Definitely not something we should do with strangers, right? This is not what Scruff McGruff would have us do. Invite this stranger into our house. But these guys do it, right? These followers of Christ. So they invite this guy into their house. And we'll pick up reading right here. So turn to Luke 24. And then right at verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And he gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. So these dudes, they've encountered this guy on the road. They've been interested in him. They don't know who he is, though, right? It's just this guy. And so they invite them into their house. And you can kind of see that how Jesus is teaching, right? What Jesus had been teaching these guys to love others, right? It's kind of starting to affect on these guys, right? Here they are inviting this stranger into their home, right? They're being kind to this guy. So they were, Jesus' teachings to them had really started to have an effect. And so, they've invited this guy into their house, and they're just all talking, right, probably continuing their conversation about what's just happened in Jerusalem with the Messiah, right? And so, I found this story online that kind of, I thought was interesting. You guys probably enjoy it. A robber with a distinctive stutter has been arrested in the U.S. and held up, in the U.S. after he held up a store where he used to work. He wore a black ski mask to conceal his identity when he demanded cash at knife point. but a former colleague of the Dunkin' Donuts store in Lombard, Illinois, recognized the robber's voice. After he had left the shop, the worker called police and gave him his name. The 25-year-old suspect was arrested in a parking lot. He had $300 cash in a white plastic Dunkin' Donuts bag and a knife in his pocket. So, this guy used to work at Dunkin' Donuts. And I don't know if he got fired or what, but he goes back, and he was wearing a ski mask, and he's like, going to rob the place. And he does, right? But he has this stutter, right? He has this stutter, and the other worker who had worked with him recognized it. So through this, the worker called the police, right? And they knew who the guy was because of his stutter. They recognized that about him. And so they end up arresting the guy, finding him with $300 in a Dunkin' Donuts bag. Kind of funny. So, but these guys have invited Christ into their home. And I think that's such a cool reminder of what we have to do as Christians. Right? Even before we accept Christ, it's all a matter of us inviting Christ to live in our lives. Right? We have to ask him to come in. We have to come in. He hasn't forced his way in, but we have to invite him into our lives so we can give him control and he can reveal himself to us. So these guys, they notice something about this guy. They recognize who he is after he breaks this bread and blessed it, right? So he broke the bread, and the way he blessed it, or maybe just the breaking of bread, was something that Christ had showed his followers. They recognized him, and their eyes were open. This guy that we've invited into our house is Jesus, right? This stranger that they've invited is Jesus. That's pretty intense. Like, I don't know about you guys, but if I just invited a stranger into my house and it ended up being Jesus, it'd be pretty awesome, right? I'd be pretty pumped. I don't know about you guys, but I'd be so stoked, right? This is Jesus in our house. We thought he was the Messiah, and the tomb was empty. We were kind of in clueless. We were bummed out. We didn't think he was the Messiah. We began to doubt. But they find out that this guy really was Jesus, this stranger that they've invited. And it says that he opened their eyes so that they could see who he was. And then he vanishes, right? I titled this point, The Startling Stranger, right? That'd be kind of startling, right? You have this stranger in your house. He breaks the bread. He gives you some bread. And you're like, Jesus. And then he disappears. Like, that'd be kind of a bummer, right? You're like, Jesus. Oh, you're gone. Like, can you imagine? That'd just be like, oh, man, like, what just happened? So these guys were probably pretty excited, and a lot of crazy stuff's going on with them, right? They're thinking, wow, Jesus was in our house. I'd be pretty excited. I think for us, it's kind of a crazy thing, right? Sometimes Christ can have something for us right in front of us, this opportunity or maybe just something that we need to do. Maybe you're not sure what God wants you to do with your life or how to handle a certain situation, and you're just kind of not sure what to do, right? And I think a lot of times that Christ is actually right in front of us. He's got it all laid out for us a lot of times, but we just aren't getting it, right? We just aren't seeing what he wants us to do. But I think, like these two guys, if we were to ask God to open our eyes to see what he has for us and what he wants us to do, I think we might be able to get a little farther. I don't know about you guys, but it just requires us to trust him, right? We have to invite him into our home, right, into our hearts, so he can show us who he is and what he has for us. Let's continue on. Luke 24, 44. Oh, actually, I messed up. I'm sorry. 32. 32, okay? So get to Luke 24, 32. Let's read it. Then they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them and gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told him about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now that they had said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me, see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, but while they still did not believe, for they joy and marveled. And he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So these two dudes, like any of us would be if Jesus showed up in our house and then vanished, right? We'd be so stoked. We'd be like calling up our friends like, "Dude, Jesus just, he was here, and then he vanished." And like, you guys, your friend would be like, "Dude, seriously, why are you wasting my time calling me to tell me about this," right? We'd just, it'd be a crazy, unbelievable experience. So these two dudes, they're traveling from Emmaus back to Jerusalem. This is like a 7-mile journey. So they travel back 7 miles, and remember, the day had already been far spent. That's why they invited Jesus into their house. So it's like nighttime, and these dudes are so excited about what just happened in their lives that they are like, "Okay, we got to go tell everyone else," right? They're pumped to share what Christ has done in their lives. And so they go back to Jerusalem, and they find the 11 disciples, because it's 11 now that Judas has betrayed Christ, right? So there's 11 disciples and some other people who were gathered there. And they're there telling them, like, what's just happened? Like, we found this guy on the road. We, like, had this feeling about him. Like, there was something about him while he was talking to us about the scriptures. We invited him into our house. And then he broke bread with us. And that's how we knew that it was the Christ. He opened our eyes. And then he vanished. So they go and they're telling all these other people, right? They're excited about what's just happened. So as they're telling them, Jesus appears in the midst of them. Okay, and they think it's a spooky spirit, right? He appears to them and he says, "Peace to you." And they all freak out. They're like frightened. Like, I don't know if you guys ever get like startled. Like, one of my favorite things to do is just scare people, right? Like, hide around a corner and pop out and scare them. It's so much fun, right? So I don't know if Jesus was just having fun scaring them or what. But it says that, Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." And they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. So as they're all talking about, like, "Dude, you saw Jesus? He like appeared to you? It was him? He broke bread with you?" And they're like, "Oh, this is awesome," right? And then they see this thing and it says, "Peace to you. Peace to you." And they get all scared, right? Speaking of water. So they get all scared. So they're scared. And Jesus has to reason with them, right? Like, "Look, I have flesh and bones. Come touch me. See, I'm real." Right? I'm not a ghost, right? I'm not a ghost. You don't have to be scared. This is all right. Calm down. And they're still kind of iffy, right? They're not sure, so Jesus says, "All right, do you have any food? You got any food?" And they give him a fish and some honeycomb. Like, I don't know if Jesus was hungry in the tomb or if he just wanted to show them that he was a human, right? So they give him some fish and some honeycomb, and I wouldn't particularly be down with the fish. I'm not a big fish fan, but the honeycomb sounds pretty awesome. Like, I don't know if it's a honeycomb cereal. That's good stuff. But honeycomb, right? This stuff is sweet. It's awesome. I definitely would want some. But I think one interesting thing that Jesus says to them is, "Peace to you," right? He offers peace to them. And what's so cool about that statement that he made was, there could really be peace now. These people had laid down their lives. They had chosen to believe in Christ, right? And now that Christ had died on the cross and risen from the dead, there could be true, lasting peace between God and man. Right? We didn't have to continue on as we were, right? There's this peace between God and man now that there can be because Christ has died on the cross. We can have peace with God. And I think that's so cool that that's the first thing that he says to these 11 disciples, right? Peace to you. peace to you. That's so cool that we can have peace with God now because of what Jesus has done on that cross. I think that if we could have an attitude kind of like these two guys did, right? They're excited about what Christ has done in their lives. They're willing to run in 7 miles just to tell these people about what Christ has done in their lives. And if we could have that same passion for what Christ does in our lives, to tell others, Christ can do a lot of big things with us, right? We read about all these people in Revelation who are going to be judged by God for their sins. They've rejected Christ. But who's going to tell them about Christ, right? Who's there to tell them? And I think if we got excited about what Christ does in our lives, as excited as these two guys did, God could do some pretty big things. I think you'll agree. So let's read Luke 24, 44 through 49. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So as Jesus has finally calmed these guys down, right? We'd all be pretty terrified if Jesus just appeared in a room. I'd probably pee my pants. That'd be scary, right? Like, you think it's a ghost? It'd be scary. I'm sure, like, after Jesus calmed them down, they, like, mopped up some puddles, you know, that were on the floor. So, Jesus has calmed them down, and he's reminding them, "Remember all the scriptures I've told you about what I've come to do, what the Father has sent me to do? To die on the cross and to rise." He's basically telling them it's all gone according to plan. Right? He's reminding them. He opens up the scripture. He reminds them of what he's told them, right? Everything has gone according to plan. The cross wasn't some obstacle that had to be gone around, right? It was part of God's plan to save us. It wasn't just something that happened. It was something that God set up so that we could be forgiven of our sins. I don't know about you guys, but that's how you guys feel about that. But that's crazy, right? God planned for Jesus to die on the cross for my sins? He planned that? That's a big deal, right? That's huge. So Jesus is reminding them that it's all gone according to plan. It's all good, guys, right? I've risen from the dead. Remember all those scriptures. I like how it says it was necessary that Christ should die on the cross. It was necessary. And it just wasn't something that happened, but God did it on purpose, right? It was part of his plan. And it also goes on to say that it's necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. It's necessary that repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations. Right? This is what he's telling these guys. It was necessary that I died on the cross, and it's necessary that people know that they can repent from their sins and be forgiven because of what I've done on the cross. It's necessary. It has to happen. It can't not be done. Every nation needs to know what I've done. They need to know that they can repent from their sins and that they can be forgiven of their sins. How awesome is that? That Christ died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins? That's so cool, right? He goes on to say, he tells them in verse 48 that they are witnesses of what Christ has done. They are witnesses that he died on the cross. that he rose from the dead. They are witnesses. They saw it happen. Like at a car accident, someone who wasn't in the car accident can see what happened, so they can tell the police, I was a witness. I saw this happen. This is what happened. They can explain the story. I'm here to tell you guys that you are witnesses also. Maybe some of you guys are saying, well, Denver, I wasn't there. And that's pretty obvious, and I'm pretty sure you weren't there, so how can we really be a witness if we didn't really see it or hear it as it was happening? How can I be a witness of this? Well, you are a witness because you've seen what Christ has done in your life. If you're a Christian, you've seen and felt the power of God in your life, right? At one point and another, you said, wow, this God is real, right? Jesus is real. He died on the cross for my sins. And you felt God, right? You've felt the power, his power in your life. And so you're a witness to what Christ has done in your life. We all are if we're a Christian, right? Because we've seen what God can do in our lives. We've felt it. That's why we are witnesses. And people need to know. It is necessary that people know that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and that if they repent, they can be forgiven. It's necessary. It has to happen. It has to be preached to every nation. And he's telling them this. I don't know about you guys, but when I go see like a superhero movie, I like walk out of the movie and I feel like I could be a superhero, right? Some of you guys relate with me. Any of the chicks feel like when I walk out of the movie, like I want to be a superhero. Like I get in my truck and I start driving and I'm like driving down the road like this is so cool. I want to be, you know, like you just get that feeling like, yeah, I want to be a part of something good and cool, right? I want to like be a part of saving lives. Superheroes have the coolest job, right? They're cool, right? Everyone wants to be a superhero. I know some of you guys didn't raise your hand. That's okay. We know you want to be a superhero. Everyone does. What's not cool about being a superhero? That is one thing about superheroes. They do wear spandex. That's not very cool about them. But every superhero needs a sidekick, right? And we can be God's sidekick in saving lives. We are his witnesses to what he's done. And we need to tell people, right, about what Christ has done for them. It's not us that saves their life, but it's what Christ has done that saves their life. But we can be their his sidekick and let them know what he's done in their life, right? We can be superhero sidekicks. Awesome! We can be a part of seeing people repent from their sins and be forgiven of their sins. How cool is that, right? We can see people come to know the Lord, but it requires us to do something, right? We can see it happen, but we have to do something. We have to step out and tell them. All right? They have to know. And it has to be preached to every nation. But who's going to tell them? Who? Now, some of you guys are saying, well, Denver, I'd like to tell people about what Christ has done in my life, but I just don't know that I have what it takes. Like, I don't know that I'm bold enough to let people know about Christ. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know if I could do it. Well, in verse 49, Jesus has promised these men power from on high. He says, wait in Jerusalem until power from on high comes to you. And this is the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon these men. We have the Holy Spirit, guys. We're on his side, right? We're the sidekick to the Holy Spirit. He's going to speak through you. God will speak through you if you feel led to talk to someone and tell them about Christ. The Spirit's going to speak through you. You may say, I don't know what to say. The Spirit will speak through you. It all just matters that you are willing to take a step out in faith and be willing to tell them. Some of you guys are right now thinking of people maybe at school or at your house, right, or in your family, or just people you know, friends, your neighbors, that don't know Christ. you're thinking about them, right? Like, me, my uncle, he doesn't know the Lord. And he's like my buddy. My uncle's my buddy. But he doesn't know the Lord. And my challenge to you is, if you don't tell him, who's going to tell him? We have to preach the gospel, right? People have to know that they can turn from their sins if they just repent. And they'll be forgiven, right? They can be forgiven of their sins. But it's all a matter of us taking a step out and telling them. So as we take communion, right, we've got the bread, the juice, as a symbol of what Christ did for us on the cross, right? His body that was broken, his blood that was poured out. Think about what that means to you and what it's done in your life and how it's changed you. How big of a deal it is that Christ died on that cross, that it was all part of God's plan. And as you're taking communion, be reminded of those people in your lives that you need to tell, right? They need to know. It's necessary that they hear the gospel. It has to be preached. And if you don't do it, who's going to? Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you sent your son to die on the cross for us, Lord. Thank you that it was all part of your plan, God, to save us. Lord, that we don't have to go sacrifice animals or anymore or anything like that, God, but you paid the ultimate price, and that was Jesus dying on that cross for us. It was the ultimate display of your love for us, God, and we thank you for that. Lord, as we take communion and we remember how your body was broken and your blood was poured out for us, pray that we'd be reminded that you didn't only just die for us, but that you died for anyone who would choose to accept you. So Lord, as we take communion, if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you, God, I pray that that you just give them strength to go find a leader and boldness. And I pray that your spirit would just speak to us in this time of communion. Amen.